Church, say amen.
Amen.
Church, say amen again.
Amen.
Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. I know I've had some times when I woke up and I've been struggling, worried about things, and I get a chance to just fall on my knees or sometimes on my face and talk to God, and it's almost like instantaneously things just feel better. It just makes it all right. God is able to make all things well. So I'm so grateful that we serve that kind of God. I want to thank the brothers that led in worship before us. And I'm just happy to be here with you this morning. Ask you to be praying for Brother Jones, who wasn't feeling good and had to leave. So Batman is not here, so now you got Robin. It is what it is. It is what it is. So hopefully, we'll share something with you that will encourage you today. If you would, turn your Bibles to the second chapter of Ephesians. The second chapter of Ephesians. And we'll begin in verse 1 and end at verse 10. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, for which God prepared in advance for us to do." Is that in your Bible? Amen, amen. We'll both this morning and this afternoon, we'll study from the same passage of scripture. This morning, I would like to just highlight verse number 4 and 5. It said, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. And it is by grace you have been saved." Amen. From this passage of scripture, I just want to talk to us just for a short time about God's love. God's love is, if you really get a chance to study the love of God, it is the most sobering concept that you will read in scripture. And the reason why God's love is so sobering is because you realize that God did this because of who he was, not because of what we'd earned. And every time I study God's love, there are times that I study God's love and I just, tears just come to my eyes. And the reason why tears come to my eyes is because I realize how bad of a state I'm in without God. You know, so I have this dichotomy of tears. Sometimes I cry because I realize how wretched I am and how difficult it would be, or how impossible it would be for me to see God in peace because of who I am. And then I have tears of joy because I realize that even though I am who I am, God has still given me enough love to be able to see him in peace. So God's love is just a marvelous thing. It's something that I believe, even though I study it and though we study it, I don't believe that really I truly understand how good God is and how powerful God's love is. And it's almost like I just can't fathom the idea of God being that good. So sometimes when I study, there are what we call in literature, the five W's of literature, or the five W's of journalism. And when you study these W's, it's who, what, when, where, and why, right? And these W's give you an opportunity to be able to look at a concept or look at a subject and then break down the subject. And by the end of that subject, you should have a full understanding of what it is. Right. So when you read through a paper, or when you read through a journal article, or when you read through a book, you should, by the end of a book or by end of that reading, you should be able to understand who did it, what they did, why they did it, when they did it, all of those things. Are y'all following me? So as we begin to look at God's love, I wanted to take that approach and look at God's love, asking those five questions: who, what, when, where, and why. And I think when we read research and when we look through scripture and we answer those questions, we fall deeper in love with God. I want you to understand, when you understand who God is, you fall deeper in love with him. And I know we sing the song all the time, I keep falling in love with him, over and over and over and over again. It's one of my favorite songs. But I think sometimes we sing it without really understanding how good God is. Y'all follow me? So hopefully by the end of this lesson, and definitely by the end of the day, you will be able to understand just a little bit better who God is, how strong, how powerful God is. And what state we will be in without his love. The book, one song that I love, and I will just sing one verse of it. And I think it just, again, is a sobering thought. Page 301. Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble God? Why did he choose the lowly or the lowly birth? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved. Oh, he loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so. He his precious life for me, because he loved me so. Amen. He gave his precious life for me because he loved me so. He gave his precious life for me because he loved me so. He gave his precious, perfect life for me because he loved me so. God's love is powerful. And there are no words to really describe God's love. When I studied this passage of scripture, I didn't study it for a sermon, so we're going to study it like a study. Is that okay? The first thing is who, the question who. God is love. God doesn't just display love. It is not one of the characteristics that God has. God himself is love. So it's important for us to understand that God is the who in his love. God is the reason why God loves. God is the reason why God loves, because God is totally and completely made up of love. It's almost as if, it's as if everything that creates your body, the blood, your heart, your lungs, your kidney, all the things that create you make you who you are. Your blood runs through your brain, through your veins. Your kidney is there to work and does work. All of those things make you who you are. God, when you think about the blood of God, is love. The heart of God is love. The things that he breathes are love. If God were to have a kidney, it'd be love. His brain is love. His eyes are love. His tongue is love. God is. I need you to understand that. God is love. That's powerful. See, so God has no beginning. God has no ending. So that means that when God, from the very beginning to the very end, God will always be love. And God is great because his love is great. And 1 John 4:8, it pretty much says that if one does not love, he does not know God, because God himself is love. There's a message to be there, a practical message that we can put in that scripture right there, because what it's pretty much saying is that if we are incapable of loving, then we are incapable of knowing God, or we are disconnected from knowing God, because it's impossible for us to not love and to know God. Y'all follow me? God is love. God created the heavens and the earth. And the reason why God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it is because of who he is. Because he is God. Because he is love. Y'all follow? We won't be long. I just need you to understand this. So if you feel like I'm overemphasizing something, it's just for the simple fact that I want us to understand how good God really is. Because if we really understand how good God really is, we will never have an issue with serving him. We will never have an issue with speaking up for him. We'll never have an issue for standing up for God. And then we will never have to worry about the things that we worry about in life, because we realize that God has already taken care of it, because God is love. I'm sorry if I seem to be emotional, because I am. And the reason why I am is because when I study this, I say, oh my God, Darwin, what a God you have. God is love. So the question, who is God? What is love? Who is God? Who is love? God is love. What? Right? What does God love? This blows my mind. God loves the world. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. See, now everything else, the what, the when, the where, and the why, all of that is predicated upon the who. Because God is love, he was able to then love us. We are the what. What is the what? The what refers to every person. The great, the small, the black, the white, the rich, the poor. Prejudice is not in God's nature. Racism is not in God's nature. God loves everyone. You should be excited about that, because, and I know I'm excited about it, because I am unlovable. I am unlovable. Why do you say that? Well, your wife loves you. She does, but she doesn't know what God knows. You understand what I'm saying? See, if she knew everything that God knows, she wouldn't love me either. I'm trying to tell you. I'm glad that they put a head on my brain, because can't nobody see it. God loves me in spite of me. He knows everything about me and still loves me. I'm telling you, if the person who is closest to you knew what you knew and God knew about you, they would not be able to love you. But God does. Some of y'all sitting here like, yeah, they would. No, stop lying to yourself. Some of y'all in your heart are saying, nah, I think if my loved one knew me, I said, no. the things that you know about yourself, that you pray to God that no one else ever knows, makes you unlovable. But God knows it and still loves you because he is love. I need you to understand that. So it's not just the rich and the poor. It's for the alcoholic, the drug abuser, the prostitute, the terrorist, whoever repents and whoever. God loves all of those people. And all of those people, if they align themselves and get in a good standing with God by accepting his word and being baptized and repenting of themselves, all of those people, regardless of what they have done, have the opportunity to see God in peace. Because God is love. Now, we have already in our mind, we have decided who going to heaven and who going to hell. Let me tell you, because we've already said some people are just not good enough to make it. Okay. Some of us, we have looked at some people in our lives. We've watched people on the media. We've looked at and we say things to ourselves like, well, God going to show enough, get them in judgment. Maybe he won't, y'all. Maybe they'll turn their heart away from the things that they do and towards God. And if they are able to repent of the things that they have done, God can and will accept them and love them, because that's why he sent his son. Sometimes we decide who's going to hell, and the very mindset that makes us decide who's going to hell is the reason why we go. God is love. What does God love? He loves you and I. Where does God love? Everywhere. I need you to understand this. The psalm says, where shall I go from thy spirit? Or where shall I flee from thy presence? Wherever you go, God's love is there. God's love is there before you get there. God's love will be there after you leave. You understand what I'm saying? We talked about this a couple Sunday nights ago, and I'll just reiterate. The Bible says that God is omnipresent. Watch this. He's omnipresent. We broke this down a couple weeks ago in Sunday afternoon. The word present has a prefix. The prefix is pre. Pre and sent. So the Bible says that God is pre-sent. Y'all follow me? If he's omnipresent, that means he's always, everywhere, pre-sent. Got it? If God is love and God is always, everywhere, pre-sent, that means that every time, God, everywhere that God is love. And the reason why everywhere God is love, is because God is love himself. So there's actually nowhere you can go to get away from God's love. Y'all, that don't make y'all happy? Have y'all ever found yourself in a bad rut? You ever been in a place and you just sat down and you just thought about what your life was doing and the things and the mistakes that you made, and you thought to yourself, oh my God, who am I? Don't you realize that even in that dark moment, even in that time when you sit there and you are at a remorseful state about what you have done or where you have lived or the way your brain has thought, don't you realize that even in that state, there is God? And what do you mean? What do you mean, Darwin? Is God? How do you know there? Well, I'm so bad, ain't no evidence that God is loving me right then. Yes, it is. What's the evidence? You woke up. You had a situation in your life where you can still think about the stuff that you messed up. That's a sign itself that God is still loving you. I'm just trying to help somebody today. Where does God love? God love extends to the othermost part of the earth. It reaches the haughty and the proud, and it includes us in our depths of despair. Sometimes we just low. But we low because God, because our mind plays these games on us. And we're low because the devil will use the things that have gone in our life to torment us. But we are not low because we are not loved. It's just sometimes when we're in our lowest place, we don't recognize that God is loving us. But let me tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is that you may be facing, the one thing that is constant is God. And if God is constant, that means that God's love is constant, even when you don't know it. God's love goes everywhere. When does he love? This is my favorite part. God commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Aren't you glad that God didn't wait for you to get it right to love you? See, sometimes we forget about the gospel story. The gospel story is so sweet because God came down and died for us when we were in a mess. See, like we do things, like the way the human brain works, we struggle with helping people when they're in the middle of a mess. You know what I mean? Our help is just, you know, it has a real short leash, limited. You know? I'm going to help him, but if he don't get himself together, I'm through. Y'all, I'm the only person, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I'm going to help him get on his feet, but once he get on his feet, if he don't figure it out, are we through? That's how we think. God's love is actually the total opposite. God didn't wait for us to deserve his love, one, because we never would have deserved it. But God actually came in our lowest state and commended his love to us while we were sinners. When did God do it? He did it when you couldn't do it for yourself. When can I do it for myself, Darwin? Every day. God, you can't love. God's love works every day. You are never enough to bring yourself through. But God's love, while we were yet sinners, when were we sinners? Yesterday? When were you sinners? What time is it? God's love works. The wind of God's love means at all times. And God's love continues forever. For he's eternal. Since God always was and God always will be, his love is everlasting. And he says that in Jeremiah 31, he said, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That means today, tomorrow, and when you leave this earth, God is still going to love you. He's still going to love you. Ain't that good? You know how sad life would be if it was just us and what happens until between these 70 or 80 years that we get, 90 years we get? The good thing about God's love is that when we are called home by God, we still receive his love for eternity. Oh, I'm the only person to get weak in my knees when I think of that. God's love is everywhere, all the time. He's love. Why? And the thing is why does he love? This is the part that blows my mind. I need y'all to understand this. The why of God's love, we truly don't all the way understand. But what 1 John says is that God loves us because he wants to be in fellowship with us. I don't understand it. I really don't understand why. He doesn't have to be in fellowship with me. I actually bring nothing to the table. Let me help you. You bring nothing to the table. We tend to want to fellowship with people that are like us or people that bring stuff to the table that have value. Let me help you understand it. When we have a fellowship at Hart Street, right? Fellowship means fellow, like-minded, right? That means we all are in the same way of thinking. Y'all follow me? Because you are a sinner and because God is holy, you not like him. So I don't understand why he wants to have fellowship, but he does because he's God. Also, if we have a fellowship, we got a list that we sign up. You bring chicken, you bring macaroni, you bring, y'all follow me? You bring a casserole, right? If somebody comes to the fellowship without a dish, we look at them funny. We look at them funny. And the reason why we look at them funny, because part of being in fellowship is what you bring. God loves us. Why? I don't understand. I just know that God really wants to be in fellowship with me, and he wants to do it even though I don't bring anything. What a mighty God we serve. See, we bad with fellowship. We don't have people bring it and then taste what they brought, don't like it, tell them I'm bringing no more. You know how we are. I'll never want them to bring macaroni and cheese again. Next time, get him the rolls. Fellowship is about being like-minded. It's about being able to bring something to the table. God loves us because he's love. God loves us when we are unlovable. God loves us, goes wherever it is that we go. And then the greatest thing about it is that he loves us because he wants to be in fellowship with our wretchedness. Because he realizes that if he is close to us, we can be something like him. I don't understand it. Do you understand it? I'm so glad I don't. Because if I truly understood it, I would misuse it. That's usually how we work. Once we grasp something, once we understand it, once we think, because when we understand it, then we start to realize, we start to think about all the qualifications of why we got it. That's how it is. When you understand something, you see, oh, I got that. I realize, oh, okay, yeah. So now I'm seeing why God doing what he, oh, okay, yeah. Well, then I ain't that bad anyway. That's how our brain is. That's how the human brain is. But God has done something for us that we really can't understand. And I'm so glad that I really don't understand it. I have to always marvel at his love, because if I always marvel at his love, I'm always appreciative of his love. See, I can't be grateful for God and complain about God all at the same time. Those two things don't live in the same space. You can't have a grateful heart and a whiny heart. One or the other. So when I don't understand God's love, when I don't understand why he does what he does, it keeps me in awe. It keeps me marveling at him, which makes me grateful for him. And it also makes me never have the desire to complain to him. Or definitely not about him. It's like when you got married, when you was courting, you know, early on in your marriage, you didn't understand what was going on with the man, you know. So y'all just loved each other. Oh, he's so nice. Oh my God, I love him. He's the most precious thing in the world. Oh my goodness, yeah. Oh man, she's a beautiful thing. Well, I tell you, when she walk in the room, everything stop. You know how we talk. And then we get into this relationship, and then we start to understand each other better. We start to see each other's flaws better. And then all of a sudden, we start to misuse each other. And it's all because we got comfortable with each other. We forgot to be in awe of one another, right? And then that's when relationships fall. But see, with God, you always going to be in awe of him. You always going to have to marvel with him, which means you never can take him for granted. And if you take him for granted, you're just a fool. God loves us. Because of God's great love, he gave his only son to die on the cross and to bring us into fellowship with him. Wow. Some days I ride to work and I just sit in my car and I just say, wow. Wow, God, I love you. Not quite like how you love me, but I sure love you. See, so what I'm telling you is that I didn't deserve God's love, but I got it. Oh, God, have mercy. I can't earn God's love, but I got it. I will not live up to God's love, but I got it. It doesn't matter what I do, I got the love of God, and I'm just happy about it. I'm just happy that it doesn't matter. I don't deserve it. He gave it to me. I can't earn it. He gave it to me. I will never live up to it. No matter how hard I preach, no matter how I study, no matter how good of a husband I am, no matter what I do, I will never live up to God's love, but I got it, y'all. What a mighty God he served. Man, I have received God's love. What a friend. What a savior. What a wonderful God. If you're thinking about this week, and you trying to figure out how you going to make it through, let me tell you, the same way you made through yesterday, through the love of God. Yeah, it's nothing you did, nothing you're going to do. All you got to do is do your best and love God just a little bit like the way he loved you. And you're going to be all right. That's the entire gospel story. Why did Jesus come to the cross? Because he loved us. Why did he live perfect before he died? Because he loved us. Why did he get up on the third day and be able to conquer all of sin and make sure that we never will feel the sting of death? Because he loved us. We're getting ready to come to Easter, and we always talk about the resurrection of God. Well, let me tell you, at the core of God's resurrection is his love. He loved us. That's why we received this. And I'm just happy about it. The least I can do is say thank you. Amen. That's the least I can do. Some of you saying, well, Brother Mason, you know, I love God, but just, you know what? If you don't do nothing this week, say thank you. Just say thank you. Amen. You know, we dislike when people get something from us and won't say thank you. But we'll walk around every day getting all the breaths, breathing in and out, living all right, you know, smiling, and we'll never take the time to say thank you to God. Amen. I was walking one of my students the other day, and he was being a gentleman. And he came in, he was walking in front of us. It was me and a couple of teachers behind me. He walked in front of us, and he opened the door. And I said, look at him. I said, my man. He walked through. Then after the teacher walked in, said, thank you, thank you. Then one of the eighth grade girls walked through and said, he looked at me and said, Dr. Mason, she didn't even say thank you. I said, she didn't realize how good you was being. Don't forget to say thank you. God has been good to you. If you're here and you're not a Christian, that's what we invite you to. We don't invite you to the Hart Street Church of Christ. No, we invite you to a loving God. And because you love God, because he's loved us, you will be decided to work for him. But don't you come down here because of me. I'm going to let you down. God ain't. And you know, think about it, he don't even know how to. You can come. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Go ahead and stand to your feet. God is love. And I'm just happy that I have a loving God. You can start to come down right now, right? Just be thinking about it. And some of you might be saying, I don't want to come down to be baptized. But it has been a long time since I told God thank you. Amen. You can come down right now. Right now. We're going to go to sing that second verse of 301. Why did, come on down. He drink the bitter cup of sorrow. Come down. Roll pain. Pain and woe, why on the cross be lifted? Go sit right there, hold it back right now, okay? Yes, because he loved.